Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Faithful, grateful, and always to be in the house of God with you, because the house of God is us. We are His house. We are His temple. We are His people. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. And we are loved. Hallelujah. We are loved. I can only say good morning, good morning, good morning. As my sister in Christ, Mother Valerie, joins me this morning. And we are
good
happy
morning.
And blessed to be here. Good morning, Mother. How are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored. I'm looking at the sunshine. It's going to be a beautiful day. Gorgeous.
Amen.
Day.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. That's when we say praise the Lord. First and foremost, He gave us another day. Yay! Woo! Somebody didn't wake up this morning, but we did.
Amen.
And all I can say is thank you, Lord God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your kindness. Woo! Mother, we got a great word this morning. Isaiah is still breaking it down, trying to give
Amen.
Some warning. And again, his warnings are warnings that we can use today. Hallelujah. And, you know, and again, Paul also breaking it down. Letting us know who we are and what we got to do. And he tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed. We are new creations morning by morning because new mercies we are seeing because God, whew, he never fails his children. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is everything. And all we can say is, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for another day. Yes. Mother, I'm going to give it to you to pray us in, and then we're going to start our word this morning. I'm excited because, say it with me, it is a great word. It is a great word today. I will be coming out of the Old Testament, and Mother will be coming out of the New Testament. And, woo, that's all I can say is, woo, Mother, it's a woo moment. Wow.
Amen, 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 amen.
Woo, it's the
amen.
Word. It's
God
a woo.
Is good. It's good all the time.
It's a woo. Amen.
Good God.
Well, Mother, I'm going to turn it over to you to pray us in, and then I will be back.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank and praise you for the sunlight. We want to thank and praise you for this day, for this is the day that you made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But by the grace of God, we wouldn't have food. But by the grace of God, we have food. We have a roof over our heads. We have brothers and we have sisters. We have loved ones. And God, we thank you because we could have been outside. It could have been us on the street, but you saw fit that it was not me. God, thank you for the light of day. You've given us another chance to get it right. We praise you. Bless Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse, and bless your people. Bless the people that are coming to you. Bless the people, the saints that belong to you this day. God, we're just so thankful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen again. So be it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, and thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good, and he's good all the time. He's good. He gives us light. He gives us food. He answers prayer. God is just a good God. There's no one like him, no one higher than our God. When man says no, then God can say yes, and he does.
Amen.
God will say
yes
when man says no. So we just thank you for another day to get it right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. While my mother was praying, all I could do was say, thank you, Lord. I had to go and get something that I wanted to share with you this morning. And I had been looking for my fruit picker mother because I have some pears that have been taunting me on my pear tree because they know they are too high for me to pick. And I have a picker because I have apples too. And I had to run out to get something out of my car as you were praying. I was just filled up, and I had asked God for a while, probably a couple of days ago, Lord, I know I should have my picker. Where is it? As I went to my garage, something caught my eye, and when I went and picked it up, there is my picker. So needless to say, I will be picking some pears today, and Mother, I will be bringing you some pears on tomorrow. And I am excited because I'm going to tell you, those pears are sweet and juicy, and I keep them in the fridge so they're nice and crispy. Oh, my goodness. There is nothing like a organic pear that you know came from your tree that God gave you. Mm. Praise the Lord with me this morning. But I just wanted to share, I went to a revival last night, and the pastor was on fire. Pastor Devereaux Hubbard from St. Paul's Baptist Church of Peoria, Illinois. And he came, just loved the title because, you know, he had it all down because we do get preoccupied. And he says, reclaiming our focus in a post-pandemic Christian world. Reclaiming our focus. And we have gotten off kilter, but one of the things that he said that just, you know, stuck out to me, he said, the word of God, you talk about it to go together when you do, you know, he says, we got to get up and tell folks about it. And he said, you'll see the results of what you say as you go forth. Change people, change communities. Change people, change communities. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed. Old things, so which means we are what? Changed. And I thought that is so, you know, it's in the things getting the spiritual wind, and God will take us there. You know, and one of the other things he says, we got to anchor ourselves in God. Who can be trusted? Who can be trusted is God. We got to anchor ourselves in God. And he said some things are beyond our control, and we know that. You know, he says we have an opportunity in building our faith. God is trying to grow us in the net, grow us the most in this post-pandemic Christian world. We need to do what you know to do. And what we know to do is to study the Word of God. The Word of God will take us through trials. The Word of God will take us through tribulations. The Word of God will get us through anything and everything we go through. We have to trust God. And I got excited. I'm like, this man is all up in our lesson. And, you know, but we have got to get out of pandemic mode. We understand that COVID has never left. You know, we now walk around without our masks on. But if you're coughing, put on a mask. If you're not feeling good, put on a mask. Not for you, others, but for you, making sure you're not sick and taking stuff to other people. You know, we are going to be in big crowds coming up. We need to wear a mask. You know, don't let anybody make you feel bad about being in a mask. And if somebody gives you the look, say, I'm trying to keep you safe because I'm coughing. And in other words, don't look at me all crazy and side eyed. You know, we understand because we are in the house of God. You know, so many people have not come back to church in 2, 3, and 4 years. They have not stepped foot in a church door. But yet, they go to Walmart. They go to Sam's Club. They go to their Hy-Vee or whatever, Trader Joe's or wherever you may be. You go to the grocery store. The difference in stepping in the grocery store where there's all kind of germs and people and not going to church. You know, God is going to hold us all accountable. And I'm not saying that church is to be all do all, but you still need to be in the house of God because that's where you get this word. I am not your church service. This is Bible study. We are an enhancement to what you gain in church. We are an enhancement to bring the word of God to life in your mind and your spirit. But being in the company of other saints is what God has said in his word for us. We understand the early church was persecuted. They tried to destroy it because they wanted to be together. We have freedom to be together, and we take it for granted, and we need to come together in unity. That's what God wants. He wants us to come together in unity. Let's get into our word this morning. Isaiah chapter 17, verse through chapter 18, verse 7. And amen. I will be also in the 106 Psalm, verses 32 through 39. Mother Valerie will be coming before you in Proverbs chapter 25, verses 11 through 12. And she will be in and explaining 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is where our title is coming from. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed, and we know the rest is passed away. And the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Ora are forsaken. Oh, my. Excuse me, everybody. I need to take a quick minute. Because I have done something that I did not know I did.
Amen.
Just a moment, please,
amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
We're going to stay on. There's an issue technically that my system is trying to kick us off. The live version anyway.
No.
But we'll still, if you're on, you're on. Just a moment, please. Let me go in here real quick.
No weapon. All that you do will prosper. No weapon. So that's in God's word. God's word is true. Always will be true. All we have to do is speak the word.
Speak the word, Lord.
Amen. Just speak the word, and it'll come to pass. You speak the word, and you
to come to pass now. We need some more time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Glory to your name. We praise your name. We speak your word, and we know that your word has to come to pass. No weapon formed against will prosper. We speak your words because we are the children of the Most High God. God is a good God, and his word is true. Every single word that God speaks will come to pass because it's true. And you know
Amen.
What? Nobody can even tell you that it's not true because you've been with God 11 years as a child of the
Amen.
Most High God. It was today, yesterday. And you know, God, that you know that you know that it is God. God is so good. You know, I looked up and I was watching the morning, you know, the night turn into morning. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful time of morning when you can sit in your front room and just look at that. Look at daybreak, daybreak, break forth. He said, light, light be, and light was. And there will be
yes,
no
Lord.
More darkness. I can't hardly wait until the rapture occurs. And I tell my sister all the time, my sister encourages herself with this. We're going to be caught up to meet him in midair. I mean, that's going to be spontaneous, the thinking of an eye. We will be caught up because the word said that we're going to be caught up. People, atheists and people like that, they don't believe it. Oh, it's a fairy tale. Oh, no. God is no fairy tale. And he always said, if you really want to know me, if you really want to know, say, Lord, reveal yourself. Just reveal yourself to me. And God will. God will reveal himself to each and every one of us. He said he left himself here for you to question. He left the sky, the grass, the birds, the bees, for you to question. Where did they come from? Did he come from a Big Bang theory? Came from God Almighty, Abba, Abba Father. And God is so much of a father. He is such a good father. God is a great God. Each and every one of us. I mean, look at the billions of people on the earth. And each and every one of us is important to God. The very hair
Amen.
On your head is numbered. The hair on your head is numbered.
Amen.
You know, we lose hair. But that very hair on top of your head is numbered. God counts your tears. He sees every single thing that you're going through. And he goes through it with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end of the world.
Amen.
God is good.
Let's get into this word this morning. Understand if there is anyone that is attempting to call in, you will not be able to call in. Those that are already in our system now are the only ones that will be able to stay in, but you will be able to hear this broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So let's get into the word, Mother. Again, the word of God says, the burden against Damascus, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. And if you think about Damascus today, they are going through some things. You know, Isaiah is the revelation of the Old Testament. And what he is saying is similar to what we hear when we get to Revelation. The fortress will also cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. It shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain and reaps the head with his arm. It shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim, yet gleaning grapes will be left in it, like the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three olives at the top of the uppermost barrel, four or five in its most fruitful branches, says the Lord God of Israel. Excuse me. In that day, a man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the works of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. in that day, his strong cities will be as a forsaken bough in an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants. In the day, you will make your plants to grow, and in the morning, you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the sea, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chase of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at eventide, trouble. And before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us and the lot of those who rob us. And as we go back to chapter 7, a life lesson, man will look to his maker and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah pictures a future time, but we can see to our maker and have respect for the Holy One of Israel right now. At this very moment, we can enjoy the blessings of intimate connection to our God. Woe, chapter 18, woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the water, saying, go swift messenger to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down whose land the rivers divide. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, you hear it. For so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place. I will take my rest. God is wanting us to understand. And then I love what it says here. And it says, "But so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place. Like clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he will both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prey and for the beasts of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. In that time, at present, will be brought to the Lord of hosts, from the people tall and smooth of skin, and from the people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion." And when we go to, I have my other study Bible here. I just want to hit upon what Isaiah is talking about. This is a powerful, powerful book. And when we go, there's nothing like the pages of your Bible. And it tells us here, it says in chapter 18, what was the land of whirling wings? This may refer either to insects, locusts, or ships. Some ancient translations of this passage interpret whirling wings as figures of speech for boats with canvas sails whipping in the wind. who were these tall and smooth-skinned people? The Hebrew is uncertain here, making the identification of these people difficult. Some think it might refer to the people along the Nile River, or the reference could be to the Assyrians or Medes, or the phrase might possibly be a figure of speech to men, human kingdoms in general. And it tells us this from chapter 17, having Damascus always been pagan. Yes, but the oracle was different as Damascus and Ephraim. This indictment was directed against the northern kingdoms that Israelites have forgotten God, their Savior. And as we know, the northern kingdom disappeared. They talk about them and call them the lost tribes of Israel. Nobody knows who they are. They don't even know who they are. There are remnants in Ethiopia. There are remnants in India. There are remnants in China. There are remnants all through Africa. There are remnants probably here in America who don't know who they are. You know, and that's what God said in his word, that you will not know who you are. You know, there are those that claim to be Hebrew Israelites and everything. We don't know who we are. You know, my children in DNA have come back as Sephardic and Ashkenazi Jews in their DNA somewhere. Their grandfather and their grandfather's uncle looked like they were Jewish men. My father-in-law was darker skinned, but if you look at the indigenous Israelites or Hebrews of Israel, my father-in-law looked like one of them, and his brothers looked like, with one had blue eyes, one had gray eyes, and you know they it's in their DNA. So just saying that we don't know who we are, we don't know who we belong to. All we can say is that we are divinely anointed and appointed, that we have the DNA of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we put our faith in. And when we get into 106 Psalm, it says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the people concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works, and play the harlot by their own deeds. Israel fell into idolatry. They came in, and God had told them, don't get involved with these people. You know, don't do it. And what did they do? First thing, opportunity. Got involved. But how did they do it? How did the Canaanites do it? How did they pull them in? Through women. Pull them in through women. And that's why young men and men alone need to be careful. You can't get caught up in lust and lustful nature, because that's how you get ensnared by the enemy. Excuse me. We got to be careful. You know, and it tells us, you know, when we go back and look at this, so what kind of prosperity do God's chosen ones enjoy? God promises. I'm sorry, let me get back to the chapter we need to be in. It says, why recount past failure? The old maxim of those who forget history are bound to repeat it was just as true then as it is now. God recounts their failures to remind the Israelites that they are a people who are naturally inclined to sin. Let's call it straight. Mankind is naturally inclined to sin. God continues dealing with his people even though they continue the cycle of sinning, repenting, trusting, growing, complacency, and then sinning again. The goal was for them and succeeding generations to learn from their past failures. God wants us to learn from our past failures. And then it goes on to ask the question. Number 19. I'm sorry, I'm losing my spot here. I'm going back. It's verse number 34, there we go. They did not destroy the people, for the command of Israel failed to perform in Exodus. God said to get rid of them. And it goes on to ask, it says, why did parents sacrifice their children to demons? You know, they were falling in with the crowd. That's what they were doing. So they thought they could be prosperous by sacrificing their kids. And it said, what nation did they need to be gathered from? Many believe the psalm was written after Judea was conquered by Babylon to reduce the threat of rebellion. Babylon made it a practice to disperse the conquered people. The Israelites were taken into captivity in Babylon, primarily in its eastern province. What they did was, that's why they don't know who they are. And why some of us don't know who we are is because what the Babylonians did is they would take, let's say, we live in Illinois. They would take the people from Illinois and move them to California. And the people in California, they would move to Illinois. So the Illinoisans wouldn't know they belong in Illinois. They just start to assimilate into California. And the ones that were brought from California to Illinois just assimilate into being Illinoisans. And that is what has happened. There are those that were Hebrews who don't know who they are, and there were those that were maybe Assyrian or Persians who think they're Hebrews. So it's all mixed up. Nobody knows who they belong to. But in the end times, God will start to separate who is his from who is not. And we, thank God, are his because we are grafted in. Whether you're Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, it doesn't matter. If you believe in God, if you are saved, set free, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that you are covered in the blood of Jesus, that you are divinely, naturally anointed, you have the DNA of Christ. You have the DNA of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are covered. You are part of the family of God. You won't be a weed. You won't be a twig. You will be a part of the vineyard. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. And I just have to say, it is the early bird that catches the worm in today's broadcast. If you were not on at 7, by 7:15, you were not able to get into our studio, but you are, if you were already listening in, you're still able to listen in if you're on social media. So, or if you are on Blog Talk Radio, you can listen in there. Mother Valerie, it is all yours.
Amen.
Good morning again.
Good morning. I'm reading Proverbs 25:11-12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. You know, a lot of times when people are grieving and you say the right word to them and they'll turn around and say, you know, I needed to hear that. So it said a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver, like an earring of gold and an ointment of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. 2 Corinthians 5:1-21. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan, honestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but for the clothes, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yet well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and also trust are well known in your conscience. Well, we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God. We do our best, and ask the Holy Ghost to help us to be pleasing to God. But whatever we do in this body, we don't have to answer for it in the end, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And I'm striving with everything I know how to do good. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think we all that are Christians are striving for the same thing. We want to please our Father. It's just like a married couple. You know, when a man wants to please his wife and the wife wants to please her husband, she might bake him a cake, his favorite, or make an apple pie. We want to do something that will please him. And we want to be pleasing to our Father. We want to do what's right. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer before those who boast in appearance, not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So, you know, that explains itself. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for Christ every single day that he gives us. We thank and praise him for waking us up. We're living for him because he died for us that we may live for him. That's amazing when you think about it, that we may live for him and give God glory. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, that now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, oh my God, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. And that's our theme for today. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And, you know, that's really, really the truth. If you're in Christ, you are completely new. I don't care what you have done. The Bible says don't look back. Don't look back. You might have been a prostitute, a whore, a murderer, a killer, a thief. But if you're in Christ, then rise again. You do with that. You're a new creature. And my Lord, people are watching you. They really are looking at you, trying to, you know, see if you're going to do the old things that you used to do. I had a cousin. His name, well, I won't give you his name, but he was something else. Oh, he was mischievous. I won't say bad, but he was totally mischievous. And then all of a sudden, he gave his life to Jesus. And it was like a miracle. You knew that this boy had changed. Something is different about him. But his family, at first, they were the hardest one to believe that he had changed. He was a minister of the Most High God. And he said, I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I'm just living for Christ. And gradually, his family accept him as being a minister. Look like your family is the last one to really accept you when you have changed. I guess because they know you and they watch you closely. They watch you closely. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry a reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. We represent Christ. And as ambassadors for Christ, you know, people are watching you. It's just like if an ambassador from Rome come to this country and we watch him, but we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, that's amazing. God put everything on Jesus. I mean, Jesus was innocent. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's because God put the sin on him. God can't stand sin, and he turned his back. Can't stand sin. But, you know, Jesus was innocent. He was innocent. And he said, Lord, Lord, if it be thy will, take this away from me. He said, but not my will. He said, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Life lesson. Oh, you know, when I think about the Lord and everything that Jesus have done for us, not just waking us up every morning, but taking away sin. And if you say that you don't sin, well, you're nothing but a liar, because you do. You sin. But all you have to do is say, God, forgive me for the sin that I have committed. Normally, we commit sin normally. We lie normally. We commit sin normally and unknowingly. So when we go to the altar, Lord, have mercy. And God will give you mercy. Every single day. I mean, he's God. When you think that you are a child of the Most High God, that God regards you, you're a child of the King. I mean, it just do something to your heart when you know that you know that you know that you're God's child. And then when you do something wrong, you know, you just go to him. Lord, forgive me. I didn't get it right today. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Let God know, because he already knows to begin with that you don't did something you shouldn't have done. But God will forgive you as if you ask. You have not, because you ask not. You got to ask God. And in the Lord's Prayer, those who trespass against you, you forgive, and God will forgive you. I mean, it's already in his word. You fall down, what, 7 times and get back up again? You don't stay down. Get back up again. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. I just want to continue to walk with you. God will make you whiter than snow. He'll keep you clean, but you got to talk. You got to speak it. You can't just sit there and think it in your mind. You got to say something. Say something. Say something. Utter the words, Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I know I did wrong. I know I looked at that woman wrong. I know I was jealous. I know I invented envy at my neighbor. I know that I had rage, and I said a curse word, like Peter, cursing Peter, said a curse word. Lord, forgive me, change me, continue to work on me. Put me in that pot and just continue to wash me clean and clean until I become the very image. I'm living for Christ. Because he died for me so that I could live for him. Isn't it? I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. He died for me so I can live for him. I want to live the life that he would have lived if he had been here. So I live for him. Oh, I mean, God is so good. life lessons, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Who writes this version in the content of the resurrection of the body? We remain confident that we will live again in a new and glorified body, not because we see it, but because we trust the one who gave the promise. We walk by faith. We're believers. We're believers. Remain confident that we're going to live again. If we die, it's a win-win situation because we're coming back. I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can hold me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep you in the ground. It said we remain confident that we will live again. And I tell Rita and Jan all the time, in a new and glorified body. Not because we see it, but because we trust the one who gave the promise. We trust Jesus. He promised. He promised. Oh, my Lord. When I think of the pain that my sister Rita's going through and Janice is going through in that body, we're going to have a new glorified body. And that's something to hold on to. Hold on to the word of God. I mean, this too shall pass. James Cleveland said, this too shall pass. It didn't come to stay. It's got to go. This too will pass, and we're going to have a new 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we walk by faith, not by sight. We're going to have a new and glorified body. Not because we see it, but because we trust the one who gave the promise. I mean, God can't lie. Jesus cannot lie. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm going to have a new body. Pastor Bridget, you're going to have a new body. A body, a glorified body, a body that can walk through walls. I mean, his body did that. We're going to be just like him. We're going to walk through a wall. All of a sudden, you can just, whoo, we have a glorified body. I mean, all the aches and pains, when you think on the
way
that he promises, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are believers. We believe the word. We believe what's said. That's just like if I tell you, well, Pastor, for your birthday, and since you're 11 years old in the Lord, I'm going to give you $1,100. And before you can even see it, you said, oh, thank you, Mother. Thank you. And you haven't even seen the money. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We believe the word of God. We believe what he says. Amen. That's a promise. And he cannot break his promises. If he say a thing, it's going to come to pass. I don't care how long. Look at Abraham. He told old Abe, I'm going to have a baby. And Abraham
I'm 90 years old. How am I going to have a baby? My wife. And then you get to be 100 years old. And your wife is 90 years old, and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to have a baby? And God said, it's coming. 100 years old.
Come.
She's 90 years old, come. And you have a child. Come on now.
Woo! Abraham had. He got on the floor, and he rolled. He just laughed because he didn't believe God. He didn't believe that he could have a child. And then Sarah, she started laughing. Shall I have pleasure in my old age? I mean, they just didn't believe, being as old as they were, that they could, you know, have children. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:9. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. To be pleasing to the Lord, because that's our aim. We're striving to please him. Like a woman strives to please her husband. So we're striving to be well-pleasing to him. If we love the Lord, we would make it our aim and our delight to please him by the way we live. We look for ways to make him smile rather than probing to see how close to the cliff edge we can get without falling off. I mean, that's crazy. I almost sound like I'm just going to do a tiny bit of sin. Well, no, that's not what we want to do. We want to please the Lord, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God has given to us the test of letting the world know what Jesus has done to make it possible for everyone who has faith in him to enjoy eternal life and an intimate relationship with the Father. I mean, if that's what you want. If that's what you want, you can have that. All you got to do is say, Lord, reveal yourself to me, to little old me, to me, just me. And God will let you know without a shadow of a doubt. He'll let you know that he's real. He'll let you know. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. In an age of individual rights, the principle of accountability runs strongly against the popular grain. Our pride, egotism, and self-sufficiency rebel against the concept of being accountable to one another for our conduct. We are accountable one to another. And, you know, that's true. Accountability. You know, Pastor, I'm accountable to her for my conduct. And if she see me doing something wrong, she's supposed to tell me. Yet accountability is a strong biblical teaching that greatly enhances our spiritual and vocational pursuits. Scripture tells us that God has made us accountable both to him and to others. I mean, that's true. We are accountable to each other. I mean, if you see your pastor doing something, she's accountable to you and you are accountable to her. Accountability provides a wise check and balance, whether it be a supervisor at work or personal friend. We all need someone who will be able both to admonish and encourage us. God allows others to observe and frankly discuss our areas of weakness, which otherwise could result in eventual ruin. Let's face it, nobody likes to admit his shortcomings. But in submitting to someone we hold in high esteem or one in authority over us, we are winners. We stimulate our performance and help keep ourselves from turning freedom into license. Even though he was the preeminent apostle of the day, Paul remained accountable to his home church at Antioch, returning there on occasions to report on his journey. As a young preacher, Timothy was accountable to Paul. Jesus had sent out his disciples not just for musical support, but for accountability. Rather than avoid or trap in such relationship, we should thank God for very practical means of promoting our spiritual growth, developing our sense of responsibility. Our ultimate accountability, of course, is to the Lord. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God, knowing that we must one day answer to a just God should be a powerful incentive for holiness and obedience. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. You want to hear God say, well done. Well done.
Amen.
Thou good faithful servant. You did good. You did good. You don't want a bad report. You want him to say, well done. Becoming a Christian does not relieve us of personal responsibility. Although our sins have been forgiven through Christ's sacrifice, we still are responsible for our own behavior. But what we do on earth matters. We are free in Christ, but we are also bond servants of Christ. God has so designed us that we need to remain continually aware of accountability to an all-knowing creator, as well as our accountability in personal relationships. Iron sharpens iron, for man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And that's true. Life lesson, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin. Now, you know, that's something. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God took the sins of the whole world and on the cross piled them on the back of Jesus Christ, my Lord, the one person who has never committed a single sin. Jesus took our punishment so that we might receive his righteousness. You know, when you think about it, it don't seem right, you know, to me, humanly speaking, that a person that knew no sin took the sin of the whole world. He took our sin. I mean, he was innocent, an innocent lamb, and he took our sin on his body that we might receive his righteousness. That's something. It don't seem like an even swap, but, you know, God knew what he was doing. And all we have to do is accept and believe. Accept what he did. That was something. And like Jesus said, Lord, not my will. I mean, that body didn't want to go through what it went through. He was groaning. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He came into the world to die. He came here to die, to receive the sins of the whole world so that we could be made the righteousness, that we might receive his righteousness. And like the thing says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that's true. The Bible tells you, don't keep on looking back. Walk like you are a new creature, that you know who you are in Christ Jesus. God is just a good God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
In Jesus. Amen, amen. I was sitting here, I was like, wow, I'm enjoying myself this morning. Mother is preaching, and I was enjoying a word from the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was thinking about what you said, Mother, about your cousin and how he had gotten saved and he got into ministry and how folks didn't want to believe him. Stop and think about Jesus. His brothers didn't want to believe him. James and Jude, they didn't become who they were until after he died. Because remember, they said, they were telling him to come out. You know, you tell him to come out of here. And he's like, uh-uh. And he looked around and told everybody, you're my mother, you're my family, you're my brothers. You know, he had to, and then say, wait a minute. Then when he went home, isn't that the carpenter's kid? Paraphrasing, isn't that the carpenter's kid? Who is he coming in here trying to speak in the synagogue? You know, folks will not take you who you are. You have to show them who you are. You have to let them know, I am a child of God. I have been called. I know who I am. You know, we don't want to be all preachy and everything, but we got to let folks know who we are. You know, you can't sit on it. You got to speak it so that they know you're not playing church, that you are the church, that you are son and daughter of the Most High, and that you believe and that your faith is what you say it is. Because when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old me is not me anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ. And, you know, sometimes it may take some of us longer to get there. But we need to make sure that we do get there. Hallelujah. God is good. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I just want to say thank you, Mother Valerie. Thank you, those that came in early. You know, we got to bind and rebuke those spirits that try to come in with a whole bunch of negativity. Negativity is not of God. We got to start speaking positive over our lives, speaking positive over the lives of others. Lord God, we rebuke those spirits that attack our friends, you know, where they just lose it. You know, we got to pray for salvation, pray for hope in the future, pray that God will lead and guide those that cannot walk because they don't know how. We got to help them. We got to help them to get up. We got to help them to walk in righteousness. Because we are new. We want our friends. We want our family. We want to all be renewed together. So thank you so much, everybody. As we get ready to pray out, if there's anyone that is already on the line that would like to speak, now's the time to push the number 1 on your phone. If not, we are wrapping it up because I got to go to work. So thank you so much, everybody. Pardon me?
A word from
Carol. Mother, thank you. Yes, ma'am. And our gift for this morning is this. Good morning. Thank you, Mother. With God in your life, you've got everything you need to be anything you want. You can do all things through him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mother. Because, so, you know, I got a distraction that came across my phone that threw me off. And so, Mother, thank you for being here this morning to put me back on track. Because, you know, the enemy got mad today. He got mad because a word went forth to let us know we are new. Because we're in Jesus Christ. We are new creatures in Christ. And he got upset. And it's like, I'm not going to let you see that positive word. The negativity is coming over quick and in a hurry and was taking over what the positive was saying. But God said, not today. And it says this one more time. I got to get my sister's word out there. Good morning. With God in your life, you've got everything. You need to be anything you want. You can do all things with him. Come on now. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family, because we can do things with him. But we are new. We are not the old selves. We are new in Christ. We are reconciled to Jesus. We are reconciled into his DNA. I say it again. You are divinely and naturally anointed because you are a child of God. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Please keep Sister Carolyn in your prayers. She is traveling today, and we want to make sure we keep her lifted up, her family lifted up. And again, Mother Rita, we love you, and we keep you as well lifted up, as well as Mother Janet and Mother Valerie, all of the mothers and aunties. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. We thank God for all of you. Thank you, Evangelist Shannon. Thank you, Sister Tracy and Evangelist Teresa. Thank all of you that join us. We ask God to bless you, to keep you, to let his light shine upon you. Facebook family. I'm going to keep saying Twitter family. Thank you so much for listening in. For we are all sons and daughters of God. Have a blessed and wonderful day, everybody. But this is, again, the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. Mother, I love you. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name. I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow, those that will be at my church, and for those that are in Springfield, Illinois, our vicinity, church announcement, the Women's Ministry of Table of Life Ministry at 2600 South 5th Street. We'll be holding our, I believe, 12th Women's Conference, and we would love for you to come and join us. It's going to be a great time. All I can say is, wow, the women that will be coming are, we have Psalmist, Avanetta Smith. We have First Lady Teresa Davis. We have Minister, Pastor, Assistant Pastor. We have Pastor Herring from St. Paul AME Church. We have a gamut. We have the Kojic. We have the Church of God, and we have Church of God in Christ. We have non-denominational. and we have AME. So everybody is welcome. So thank you so much. We praise God. We lift up our sister in Christ, our director of the women's ministry, Sister Carla. We ask God to watch over her, to bless her, to keep her separated and anointed, that everything will fall into place as it should be. For she is a mighty woman of God. And I can do nothing Amen. More than just being in thanks that she is the one that's over the ministry for our women. I am so very grateful that she was chosen to replace me. I started the ministry, and she has taken it, and she's going to take it higher than I ever could imagine. So I am so grateful, and I'm so thankful, and I will be giving plus support. So I ask all of you to please, you know, I am telling you, you will miss a move of God if you are not at the table of life on Saturday at 9 o'clock a.m. for our women's ministry. So thank you so much. Be blessed, everybody. It's a wrap because I got to go to work. I love you all.
And you know, one more thing, I want to bless my, I want the church to bless my daughter and Mother Holly. Let her know that we love her and that God is with both of them. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Our mother
Amen.
Of the church, Mother Holly.
Amen.
Well, it's
yes.
a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, everybody. Our Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it this morning. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you so much, everybody. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.